Jesse and JD and Rob Trujillo from Metallica joining us via Zoom. Dude, thanks for doing this, man. We're so fired up for 72 seasons, your 12th studio album out on April the 14th. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, Robert, the 12th studio album with Metallica, 72 seasons. I can only imagine what it's like for you guys, you know, getting together this tour that you guys are on and putting together a set list. And you're like, oh my God, we have so many unbelievable songs now that all the fans want to hear. I was thinking after 12 studio albums and you guys, you know, have this problem where you have so many big songs, is there ever a time where Metallica just tours with the albums you guys got? Or do you think you're a band that will always continue to write and record new music?
You know, one of the blessings and the curses for us is that we have so many musical ideas, like new ideas, and we enjoy making records. A lot of bands, you know, that have been around as long as Metallica, they actually at some point they kind of hit a roadblock, or they have a hard time creating at that level. And I feel that we're a band. I mean, I wish we would do it more often, you know, not have to wait so long, but we're a band that has a lot of ideas, a lot of riffs, a lot of music, you know. And if you're looking at Kirk's, you know, allotment of riffs, it's like hundreds, or mine, or, you know, James, it's just like, so you can only do so much. So we actually don't have enough albums for all the ideas we have, you know. So I would imagine, yeah, we're going to keep making new music. And if you listen to the new album, it sounds, I think it's the best one, definitely the best one that I've done, you know, since I've been in the band. So there's no shortage of new music for the future. It's just having the time to do it, you know, that's a whole nother story.
So this was one of the biggest stories on the internet last week, and that was you lending some vocals to this new album. Obviously a big deal, the internet. I wanted to know what that meant to you personally to provide some vocals to this new album.
Well, it's huge, you know. You know, there's a couple moments, one in particular that where I get to share that sort of that little vocal platform with James, it's exciting for me because, you know, I don't know, you look at your heroes, and to be able to kind of share a spotlight moment with them is a lot of fun. And even if it's brief, it's still like, yeah, you know, we did it. No, it's cool. I mean, again, this album is very collaborative. And if you think about what we all went through, including yourselves, over the last 2 years, to be able to, you know, create this music and build it from afar, and then all of a sudden come together in a room and have the opportunity to make a statement like this, it's pretty, pretty special.
You know, you've also spoken about how James spilled his guts on this album. And I wanted to ask you what it was like supporting, you know, not only a bandmate, but a friend through something like that.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I always try to tell people is like, hey, when you're in a band for as long as Metallica's been around, or any band, you know, you really have to be a brother. You have to balance between not just being try to be the best musician you can be, or you're just playing bass. You know, there's a lot of other things that go with it. You know, obviously all of us have our story growing up, you know, and for me, there were a lot of challenges with the personalities in my family and everything. And I can tell you this, every band I've ever played in, I've worked with Ozzy Osbourne, Suicidal Tendencies, worked with Jerry Cantrell, and among others, there's always going to be a challenge because everybody's different, and it's no different in Metallica. Everybody's different. And sometimes you got to help your brothers out, and that may not have anything to do with music. You know, it's just a part of being a family or a tribe. So this album also resonates all of that, you know, energy as well, which makes it that much more special.
And Rob, as excited as people are for the record to come out, 72 seasons, they're also, you know, equally as excited to see you guys live again on this massive tour. I know Canada is buzzing for you guys to get back here. And the opening bands that you guys have assembled, Pantera, Five Finger Death Punch, Architects, Mammoth, Wolfie Van Halen, Ice Nine Kills, Volbeat, Greta Van Fleet. I imagine every band would be knocking on Metallica's door to open up for them on this tour. How do you guys go through these bands that you know people love and choose who's going to be opening up for you guys?
Well, that's tough because sometimes there's bands that you know, that have kind of earned their stripes. Like Greta Van Fleet's been with us for a while. You know, you develop a rapport and a connection to some of those groups, but at the same time, you're like, hey, man, let's get, you know, I guess let's get Pantera on or whatever. You know, you see, number one, who's available, and because that plays into it too, and it becomes a little bit of a challenge because there's so many great bands. I mean, so many great bands to choose from, and then at the same time, the management team will also have their eyes on certain groups and everything. And then we get caught up into the music and that side of everything. So it's really like a whirlwind of possibilities. But I'm excited about you know, the bands that are on with us this go around. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's kind of crazy because we're doing the two shows a weekend, but then the opening bands on the first, you know, on the Friday night are different than the ones on the Sunday. So it's, I don't even know that that's ever happened with us, you know, where you have it's the same tour, but the bands change, you know?
So wait a second. Are you telling me that there's been a band that you asked to open for Metallica and they said, oh, sorry, guys, we're busy. Like that's happened before?
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
I can't imagine that happening.
I'm sure it's happened plenty of times in the history of the band, you know, and sometimes bands just get, you know, get bigger, you know, I mean, it's you know, they're committed to something else or whatever. It happens, you know, but yeah, it's very rare. Yeah. I mean, Metallica is definitely a band that, you know, going back even from myself as a band, you know, from Suicidal Tendencies, when we opened for Metallica, you know, that was honestly a dream come true for myself, you know, we're going back to 1993 and we got the call to open for Metallica, and that was like, oh my God, this is huge. But I've experienced that in my life. When I was in the Infectious Grooves, we got the call to open for Ozzy Osbourne in 1991. And that was like a dream come true. And it's the same with Metallica. Metallica got the call to open for Ozzy, you know, back in the 80s. And that, you know, doors open for bands when they get opportunities to open for groups like Metallica. It's just a part of the, you know, the journey.
You know, one of the other big stories in rock last week was this Power Trip Festival in the middle of the desert that features, like, you know, some of the biggest rock bands ever, friggin' ever, including your band Metallica. What, you know, what's it like to be on a bill like that and to cause that kind of a buzz when a lineup like that drops and the whole rock world goes, oh my God, I got to go to the desert?
You know what? It's interesting because I was thinking about that. You start to kind of look back in your early years. It's an automatic thing, automatic. I'm sure you can imagine. So you're like, man, wait a minute, hold on a second. I remember, you know, when I was 16 and I was playing in backyard parties and we were playing Iron Maiden songs, or we were playing, Ozzy songs or Sabbath songs, just looking back. And then, you know, some of your friends, like I'm really good friends with the guys in Tool. I mean, Justin, you know, Chancellor lives in my neighborhood, actually. And I see him around, you know, we live in an area called Topanga Canyon, which is kind of a small community. And sometimes we hang out, our families hang out, whatever. But now we're going to be, you know, sharing the same weekend together. So that's also cool. So between like AC/DC and like just the impact of that, and then all of a sudden the fact that some of these individuals are your friends, you get to share the weekend with them and you're in a special place, you know, that part of California is pretty cool. It just turns into like this kind of fantasy driven, you know, reality that becomes an extension of another chapter of your life. So it almost doesn't seem realistic. You know what I mean? I never could have imagined a bill like this, you know, growing up, and here we are a part of it. So I guess it still doesn't seem real to me. I'm still kind of taking it in, like, is that really going to happen? You know? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Rob, to ask you kind of like a fanboy question here, but you know, you're just a regular dude, but to everybody on the planet, you are Rob from Metallica. And I want to know, what is it like for you guys just trying to exist as people going on these tours? Are you guys able to explore the cities and go for dinners and just kind of, you know, walk around and almost go unnoticed ever? And I ask that because James Hetfield was just in Calgary filming a Western. And mm-hmm. Canadians are not cool when it comes to celebrities. We don't play it cool ever. So there was actually a James Hetfield watch going on in Calgary. Hey, we saw him here. We saw him there. He was here. Oh, my God. Where is he now? And there was a community of people looking out to see where James was. You know, are you guys ever able to just kind of chill and enjoy a tour? Or are you guys just in such a closed box now that you can't do anything anymore?
Well, it depends. You know, obviously, certain cities kind of the kind of level of fanatic energy ranges from various cities. There's certain cities where we can't get out of the hotel. You know, it's like, it's not easy to get out of the hotel. But, you know, part of the excitement of touring is experiencing, you know, the cities and the restaurants. And, you know, we love that part of it. We like to get out and enjoy the outdoors and see some of the sights. And it's important, I think, for the fans to hopefully respect us, you know, and respect James. He's trying to have a good time and he's trying to enjoy, you know, these cities and their cities and celebrate, you know, Metallica's music, but also, you know, celebrate the city itself and get to know it, you know, and you know, see the sights, enjoy the cuisine, all that kind of stuff. That's really a great gift that we are able to have in our career. And like Kirk and I, we're avid surfers. So wherever there's a beach, we're going to surf it. You know what I mean? And that's part of what makes what we do that much more special.
So we were talking to Slash a few months ago and we were asking him about what it was like being a rock and roll dad, you know, watching his son become a musician too. Your son Ty is a musician in his own right, right? He's played with Slash's son Hudson. He's played with Korn. He's been a part of Stranger Things. You're in his new music video. How cool is all of this as a dad?
It's great. You know, I have a 16-year-old daughter that's an amazing drummer, an amazing artist, and obviously Ty has paved his own path, I guess you could say. He's got an amazing new record with his band Otto. It's really a blessing because I never would force music on my kids, or, you know, what I do. Obviously, music is a very special thing, but it's also, you know, it's, you know, I'm happy that they play. It's a therapeutic, it's a great release. It is a beautiful gift. You know, some parents would say, oh my God, my son's a musician or whatever. Not, you know, I wish he was a doctor or a dentist or whatever. But for me, you know, I, you know, we're in the same house and I hear him playing guitar, coming up with riffs and bass lines and trap beats and everything. And he's been doing that since he was a kid, since he was younger. He's 18 now. And to see, you know, last night I was listening to his album in the car for the first time and I was freaking blown away, man. I was like, wow, you know, the arrangements and the riffs and all the parts and the melodies. And it was very, you know, mature in the right ways. So he's a true pro at it. And he's, like you said, he's been toured with Korn when he was 12. So he knows what he's doing and he's chosen his path. And I'm grateful for that. And you know, it's kind of like in our house, it's crazy because you've got music coming out from four corners. Everybody's got their own thing and they're recording and my wife sings and, you know, she's a, you know, creative as well. So you've got all this, got drums on one side and then you've got like Ty playing guitar and bass or writing something on the other corner. And then I'm on the piano messing around or trying to play new Metallica stuff. So I call it the crazy house where we live. People must drive by and go, oh my God, what's going on in there?
Rob, my last question for you, man. And like I said, we've been talking about the album 72 Seasons. All your fans are excited about that. They're excited about this tour. I just wanted to give you a second to maybe talk a little bit, if you wanted, about the All Within My Hands charity that your band has and how many people you guys have helped all around the world, different causes, families, kids, countries sometimes even. You know, how important was that for Metallica to start a charity and then give back to their fans in a different way?
Well, it's very important, you know, as we've become more successful in our careers, you know, what a better thing to do than to try to help, you know, the local, well, I was going to say the local community, but I mean, people from all over the world, you know, it's like we roll into a town, we've got the success with ticket sales. Well, let's give some of that. Let's help with the food banks. You know, let's also step beyond that and help with careers. You know, sometimes people just need to find a career path. Well, if we can help people learn a trade, you know, whether it's learning to weld or just grow into a profession that will help them in their career path, I'm all for it. We're all for it. It's one of the more sort of beautiful things that as a band we've been able to channel some of our energy and our, again, some of that success in terms of giving back to the communities and, you know, helping pave new lives. You know, you can only do the best you can. You know, as you know, in our world today, there's so many challenges for individuals all across the board. It's never going to be easy. But I always like to hope and think that we can motivate people to try and have a better life and become the best person they can be. That's really important. What I always tell my kids is never phone it in, because in anything you do, whether you're painting curbs or whether you're playing on the big stage or playing in a bar or building houses. I used to build houses before I, you know, became a full-time musician. It's always hard work. You know, that's the life we are in. You know, give it your best, right?
The big issue in Canada right now is potholes. So if Metallica wants to help fill some potholes, we would love if you could do that, okay?
Hey, man, I've been there. Yeah, I've done that actually. So, you know, it's all a part of trying, you know, hey, if you fill a few potholes and it helps smooth the pathway, you know, I'm all for it, man. Yeah.
Rob, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it, man.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Right on.
See you, buddy.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.